Just listened to your latest album, and it's pretty amazing solos on there. How much work went into it?
Well, actually, I didn't play on any of it. All I did was, I didn't play it. I just explained. I said I would like something like a little fast thing, like an Al DiMeola thing type thing here, a little Randy Rhoads type thing here, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course.
with the solos, I always said is, two ways that you either approach it. You got the Randy Rhoads school, or the Eddie approach. Where Eddie was just more, it seemed just more off the cuff. Like insanity.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But whereas Randy just sat and would actually write a solo. But Bathroom. I just sat with it, and I just like with Neil Sean. You got the melodic bit, a melody, and then some blistering. When he kicks it into like hyperspeed,
Yeah, I was going to say the one that I found really interesting was The Time Waits for No One, because it starts out, you think it's a ballad, and ultimately it is, but then it suddenly goes into this sort of speed and wah and country riffs.
I guess so. Time Waits. Obviously that's the Neil Sean influence. As far as that stuff goes.
Yeah. What was the story with the song near the end of it, Chepectra?
Which one's that, buddy?
Chepectra.
Oh, Chupacabra.
Sorry.
Chupacabra, yeah. Yeah, everyone will be saying that one wrong. But in Mexico, that's a name for, it was on a beer commercial, actually. A beer's name called Tecate beer. Mm-hmm. It's a Mexican beer, and they just said on their commercial, it was like, yeah, we do everything our own way. We even renamed the boogeyman Chupacabra. So, I just was like, oh, yeah, cool. We'll just call the song Chupacabra, because it had that flamingo-type thing going to it. So that's the reason why I called it that, just being a goofball.
What'd you play on?
What'd you say, brother?
What sort of guitar was it? Gibson acoustic?
That particular song?
Yeah.
A Chupacabra? Yeah, I just put it on a classical guitar.
It's got a bit of Al DiMeola and Spanish Fly to it.
Yeah, totally. It's just my little ode to Al, Paco, and John McLaughlin, and, Eddie with Spanish Fly and stuff like that,
Yeah. I was also going to say that songs like Southern Dissolution and War of Heaven, they've got a bit of Alice in Chains feel to it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, to me, with Alice, Soundgarden, all of us, it's from that pool of Black Sabbath, that we've all learned from and we're weaned from.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm good buddies with Jerry and the guys. I love Alice. Awesome band.
Yeah, even on the outro of, I think, Parade of the Dead, did you have a riff of Bark at the Moon in there?
No, actually it reminds me of Miracle Man.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Totally.
is that kind of stuff intentional? Is it just sort of happening? You go, oh, that works.
No, I just ended up doing it, and then later on when we listened to it, I go, oh, it sounds wrong. At least I'm copying myself.
But you're producing it all yourself, aren't you? Like your production is you, right?
What's that, buddy?
You produce it yourself, yeah?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Yep, that's me. Jimmy Page has started being a huge influence on me. As a musician, it's just everything he's done, it's just long, bigger than just a guitar player. A producer, a writer, a whole nine yards,
Yeah. With your signature Gibson Les Pauls, how much do you think Gibson guitars haven't really changed since, the Cherry Sunburst model of, 1957?
Well, it's, like you said, it's like the wheel. You really don't need to change it. The whole thing is you can add, it's like a wheel. You can put different rims in it, different treads on it, but it's round and it rolls and it works.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just curious how much stuff you had to do to your signature model, because not a lot of people get signature guitars from Gibson.
No, what I've done to mine, obviously, between the EMG pickups and then the maple neck with the ebony fretboard, and I have the shaved back of the neck, so it feels like a baseball bat. But that's basically what separates my guitar from a normal Les Paul.
Yeah.
And then I put there's 6,000 fret wire is usually what I use. It's a fatter, higher fret wire.
I think I read somewhere that you noticed that Justin Bieber's guitarist was using one of your guitars.
Oh yeah, no, Dan Cantor is the guitar player, and yeah, we had it on the Twitter thing. Dan sent in a picture. We saw him on Saturday Night Live, and everyone just wrote in the other day. They were like, "Dude, this guy's playing a Zakk Wylde guitar in Justin Bieber's band, right?" And then so we just put it on my Twitter account. Yeah, we went on to Dan's Twitter. And, you know, so we went from having 30,000 people on my Twitter to, like, 18 million. So
that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, no, well, put it this way. Whenever the Justin Bieber fans, you know, all the Justin Biebers, they're going to see me and they're going to go, "Look at him. Look at that guy with the beard. He's playing a Dan Cantor guitar."
Yeah, indeed. Hey, what do you think of the 80s Les Pauls?
What do I think of the what, buddy?
1980s version of Les Pauls. What do you think of them?
Oh, the 80s?
Yeah.
My guitar is I think it's an 81.
Oh, right, okay. Right,
Brown.
Right. Yeah, because there was a time in the 60s, I think, when, you know, Fender was more the rock guitar. Do you agree?
Because Jimi Hendrix was playing it, but, I mean, Jimmy Page was playing them, so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, true. But have you ever got any gold tops?
Have I gotten what, buddy?
A gold top.
They made me a gold top custom with the bullseye on it.
Oh, excellent, right. But see, what I was curious about is that a lot of the old models, the flame maple on it was sort of, you know, you take a punt and you don't really know what you're going to get years and years ago. So you kind of wonder what the vintage market, if it's, you know, worth it or not.
Well, the reason why the vintage market's so huge, I mean, you know, with like a 1959 Les Paul is the most sought after guitar. I mean, it's not because it's the best sounding or plays the best or anything like that. They only made like 200 of them.
Hmm.
So there's only, and whatever guitars got smashed or broken or whatever, so you don't know how, there's really not that many of them in existence. So that's the reason why there's so much money. Because, I mean, and, you know, like Henry, like we were just laughing, down in the accounting department in 1959, Gibson was not a happy place to be. You know, the accounting department was like, "You've got to be kidding me. We sold 200, that's it. That's all we've sold this year. 200 freaking guitars, you kidding me?" You know, so, I mean, that's the reason why it's so expensive, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I mean, I've got a 58 reissue of Les Paul's Lemon Burst. It's amazing. You know what I mean? And I've played some old 59s, I mean, that are dogs, bro.
Yeah, I can understand.
You know, and I'm like, "How much for this guitar?" It's like, "Oh, that's $500,000 guitar."
Yeah, forget
you
that.
Know? But I mean, yeah, but because it's not really a guitar, it's a piece of art, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I understand. Do you ever stuff around with strats at all?
What's that, buddy?
Do you ever play strats?
Oh, do I mess around with strats? Well,
yeah.
I own one strat, and I got a telly. I got a buddy of mine, Dan Lawrence. He's actually taking my Telecast that I used on Farmville. He's taking it, and I'm making it the Jimmy Page Dragon telly, just for, you know, shits and giggles.
Fair enough. Actually,
yeah, totally. Just taking, I got pictures of Jimmy's, and I got a rosewood fretboard, and he's putting a dragon on there, the whole nine yards.
Cool. I've noticed with a Flying V, one of the reasons I really enjoy playing it is it's because it's really easy to play sitting down if you just park it between your legs. Do you know what I mean? Like Flying V guitar. But with a Gibson, sometimes you've got to move the horn across. Do you ever find that, like, you're obviously used to it, but do you have to tip the neck up when you're playing fast leads?
No, my Flying V's play great, man. They do an ass-kicking job with those guitars.
Yeah.
I use them live every night.
Is there any plans to do any new types of guitars? I mean, you did a Graveyard Disciple.
Yeah, we got that sucker out right now, and I'm also, I got a design for three other guitars right now. You know, because I got the ZV, you know, with the, it's like part SG meets, you know, Flying V type thing.
Yeah, sure.
I've been using that one. That thing sounds great. I was just actually jamming on it before you called. And then, but I got a design for a couple other guitars I just did right now. And then we're making it actually with Dunlop. I'm making another pedal. It's going to be friggin' ass kicking. We're working on this thing right now. So that'll be coming out soon. So, no, I'm loving it. And then we got a new Marshall that's going to be coming out soon. Another JCM 800 signature thing that's slamming head. But Yeah, so I got a lot of stuff going on right now this year. You know, between the album, the tour, and everything like that, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many people that have got, you know, signature guitars with Gibson, signature amps with Marshall, and signature pedals, you know.
No, I guess not.
So, you know, it's pretty cool.
Without a doubt. I'm digging it.
You're competing with Slash.
Well, I mean, put it this way. I mean, if I can help make a quality piece of gear for other guitar players, I enjoy doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, 'cause put it this way. I mean, it's just like somebody could be like, I don't even know who the hell Zach Wild is, but I really like this pedal.
Mm.
And I really like this guitar. It's like, oh, yeah, Zach designed that thing. Who the hell's Zach? Who's Zach? You know, Zach Wild, he played with Ozzy, he plays with the Black Label Society. Never heard of the guy. I really like the guitar, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
It's the truth. I mean, of all the guitar players in the world, you know, in that club, I'm one of them. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I mean, put it this way, you know, me, how much I love Randy Rhoads and Ed and all those guys. I mean, put it this way, if Randy Rhoads came out with a pedal back in the day, I would have been like, dude, I would have been all over it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And if it's a killer pedal and it's a great sounding pedal, then there you go, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. With wah pedals, I remember you were stuffing around with changing the angle of attack on it or something. Is that right? Are you still doing that?
Yeah. I mean, it's just because, you know, so you could change the actual filter on the wah, you know what I mean? So you could tweak it so the voicing on the wah is different and stuff like that. So, yeah, the guys did that, and they knocked that out for me. So, and they did a great job. I mean, put it this way, all the stuff that's got my name on it, like I said before, it should be that if you don't even know who I am, you just go, I don't know who the Zach guy is, but I really dig the pedal, or I dig the guitar, or, you know, whatever, or the amp, or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, that's the way it should be. You know, I mean, if you're buying an Eddie Van Halen product, you know, aside of being a fan, the gear should be slamming. You know what I mean?
Mm. What are the changes that you made to a JCM 800?
Well, I got the 6550 groove tubes in, obviously the cosmetics. Cosmetically, she looks different, but I just take it off of my heads. The ones that I have that are the most slamming clean with the punchiest and, you know, have the widest spectrum of tone. I mean, that new album, I mean, that's, I mean, to me, I think that's like the quintessential JCM 800 guitar sound.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's all that, on that record, is just two tracks of JCM 800, 100 watt top. That's what that is.
And
like, put it this way, if somebody wanted to hear what a Les Paul or ZV or GD sounds like through a Marshall JCM 800, all you got to do is listen to that record. Put on Crazy Horse and then go, there you go, that's what a JCM 800 sounds like.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I mean, and that, actually, that song, it's the riff is down-tuned quite a bit, isn't it?
Well, we're tuned down a whole step, so we're not 4, you know,
but it just sounds,
we're 430.
Sounds really heavy.
Like, obviously, if anything, like a D note on your guitar, I mean, on the piano, we tune to a C. So,
okay.
You know, everything's just a whole step down. But, you know, like Crazy Horse, when I detune, I'll just take the low E and drop it down to a B.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so it's just a B. But, or you know how you drop tune and you go to a D, you know what I mean? Same type of thing.
Yeah. I think there's a bit of it on the record, really. Did you have to tighten up the cabinets at all, anything, or not?
No, I mean, well, you know, either that or you just use thicker strings. Like, all my signature strings are either a 70 or a 60, you know. So this way, when you're playing the low tunings, I mean, and you're tuned down, you know, the strings will snap back.
Mm.
I mean, because if you're using a really super light gauge string on a low day, you know, forget about it.
Yeah. Now that you've got time to just do Black Label Society, you know, 100%, Do you think you might do any more contributions to things like Derek Sherinian's albums and things like that, or not?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, I mean, put it this way, I always had time to do it all anyways, you know what I mean? Whether I was playing with The Boss or Derek Sherinian or jamming on any of my friends' records, you know, I mean, it's just music at the end of the day, you know, I love doing it all.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, the time that you've, obviously you work hard, but do you find focusing more on BLS has been, you know, good for you?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just like when I was doing, we're doing an Ozzy record, I'm focused on working on an Ozzy record, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm focused on doing a Black Label record, or, you know, whatever I'm working on, I always just focus on that, so, you know. But I enjoy doing it all, man, you know.
Actually, I was just curious what you thought of Ozzy saying that, you know, Ozzy was starting to sound like Black Label, given that you were the guitarist in the band.
Put it this way, it's just, whatever reason, if it's that because my beard's too long or what, I mean, the whole thing is, I love Oz, so it's just like, you know, if Oz is like, I mean, well, you got to look at it that way. I mean, it's a compliment in a way. I mean, put it this way: if Randy was still playing with him, playing with Quiet Riot, and then going back with him, and he said everything's starting to sound like Quiet Riot, or if Jake was, you know, doing the Badlands thing and then playing with Oz, he goes everything's starting to sound like Badlands. You know, I mean, the same thing would have happened. You know what I mean? It's like I got to, you know, it's just like Eric Clapton playing with John Mayall, and then he's like, dude, everything's starting to sound like Cream. And it's like, oh, I got to get another guitar player.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, I mean, everything's cool. I mean, I love Oz. I mean, without Ozzy, there'd be no Black Label. And, you know, Gus is kicking ass now. So, I mean, Gus is an amazing guitar player. So, you know, and they got a killer record out. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Oz and the rest of the gang on in August. You know what I mean? It's this month. We'll see him on the 14th.
Yeah, you're going to meet him in Ozfest, aren't you?
Yeah. Anyway, somebody asked me, they're like, oh, do you talk with Oz? I go, dude, I go, let me ask you something. Do you still talk to your parents? And it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It's like when you move out of your house, you know, it's not like you don't love your parents anymore. I mean, you still love them and you talk to them, you know what I mean? So it's just that you don't live the house anymore, you know what I mean? That's all.
Yeah. No, I'm not digging for dirt at all. I would have thought that you might have expected it coming, a couple of years ago, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I always got Ozzy's back. So, I mean, whatever his dreams are, whatever, you know, if he's playing a game of checkers, I'm rooting for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, what does doing free weights have an effect on your playing ability? Do you know what I mean? Like your ligaments and stuff like that.
Oh, lifting weights and stuff.
Yeah, does it have an effect on your tendon?
No, I don't. I know some of my friends that have had problems with it. They're like, man, Zach, that never happened to me. I mean, put it this way. I mean, obviously, of course. I mean, if I started getting like tendonitis in my wrists or something, you know, my forearms or something, you know. I mean, obviously, yeah, you stop lifting.
Yeah, but there are certain exercises that you may not necessarily do because you can damage your shoulder or when you play.
I don't know. I mean, I lift pretty heavy, so I mean, but I've never had, you know, I've never had anything with my forearms or my wrists or, you know, my hands when I'm actually playing a guitar, like tendonitis or anything like that.
Yeah. What about you?
I would figure you'd get that more from constantly practicing. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, whatever they call it, carpal tunnel syndrome, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What about your back from, you know, just playing Les Paul?
That never bothered me. I mean, I'm weighing 235 pounds now, lifting weights and everything like that. So even when I started, you know, when I was playing with Ozzy, being 160-something or 170 pounds, it's still, you know. But the Les Paul's never bothered me like that. Yeah. I was never like, oh, man, this thing's killing my shoulder. I don't know. Because I know a lot of guys that don't, you know, that's one of the reasons why they don't like Les Pauls, you know what I mean? They're just like, dude, it killed my friggin' back and my shoulders after a while. I'm like, oh, that never bothered me. So I was just either told them either that or get a thicker strap, you know what I mean? Instead of like, you know, because Slash always uses those really super thin straps. I mean, they just dig into your shoulder after a while, you know?
Yeah. So I would have thought deadlifts would be a good way to strengthen your back for playing guitar as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally, man.
But how much you lift?
What's that, buddy?
How much do you deadlift?
How much do I deadlift? Well, after I broke my back and everything, dude, I mean, I broke my back like a 94.
Yeah.
I'll just throw, I mean, a while ago, I was working out with like 275, and then, you know, I mean, but now, I mean, I'll just throw like, I'll throw a wheel on each plate and just rep out.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, as far as, and I do hyperextensions and stuff like that, but I mean, after I broke my back, forget about it, man. Forget about squatting and stuff like that. I'm on the leg press instead of the squats.
Yeah, I was going to say, the injuries that you'd cop on tour must be pretty substantial.
Oh, I mean, it's ridiculous. I've sustained more injuries playing rock and roll than I have when I used to play sports. Broke my back. I fell off a stage another time. Blew my knee out. Messed my shoulder up doing something one time. You know, when they threw me back up on stage that one time back in 94, I cracked two vertebrae and I broke two of my ribs. You know what I mean? I got right back up and kept playing. I just figured I knocked the wind out of me. I just figured, I'll be fine. I figured if I broke my back, there's no way I can get back up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean,
this sucks.
if you got to go to the next city the next day, you don't have time to recuperate.
No way. I mean, I broke it. Never. I had to go do a show the next day. They gave me a muscle relax and a painkiller, and I drank about 4 beers and went up on stage and played.
Oh, man.
Yep, did the gig, and then when I flew back to California from Florida, I the same thing. I couldn't stand up again. I mean, because all the pain pills were wearing off and everything like that. And, you know, and then when I went and got an MRI, the guy goes, oh, yeah, you're lucky you're walking, dude.
Nice.
Because you're lucky you're not paralyzed right now.
And so then you get home and the wife hassles you.
Oh, yeah, I'm lucky I'm not paralyzed. And me and you are still getting loaded.
Yeah.
Loaded and still doing a show. The whole nine, you're like, nothing's going on. I got 2 cracked vertebrae and 2 broken ribs.
So getting pretty much the final question for you. Hell Yeah were here last week. Do you reckon you'd ever play with them?
Oh, Hell Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, Vinny and the gang. Yeah, they're good friends of mine, man.
Definitely. Because, the influence of Dimebag, the question on that one is, you know, what's the one thing that he taught you?
Oh, with Dimebag?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, you know, like, it's just like, what did Ozzy teach you? What did my dad teach you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just a firm believer in, like, lions hang out with lions. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, it's just like... it's just like, that's the reason why you gravitate towards your best friend or anything like that, you know what I mean? It's just like, my dad worked his balls off all his friggin' life before he died and then never complained about nothing. Same thing with Ozzy. And, you know, they lead by example. I mean, Dime led by example as well. So, you know, I mean, it's not like, you know, I've never needed anyone to motivate me or tell me to work hard.
Yeah.
You know, because I already expect that out of myself.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I mean, as far as, like, learning stuff, I don't know. It's just, I don't know if you really look at it that way. I mean, it's just like...
That's cool.
I mean, my guitar teachers and stuff like that, people I've learned from, you know what I mean? But, I mean, it's just like, he was just my brother and I love him, you know what I mean?
Mm. Very, very final question for you. What's your thoughts on the industry today, given that it's all like downloads and stuff? I mean, how do you reissue a download?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is you got a tour, and, you know, I mean, like the younger bands, I mean, it's just a matter of touring and selling your merchandise and stuff like that. I mean, it's to keep the band surviving, because, I mean, and hopefully, you know, people will dig the band and then want to buy the record. But, I mean, I've never downloaded anything in my life, like illegally stolen, so, you know.
Mm.
I mean, even... I mean, to this day, I mean, like, even my friends would go, oh, dude, I can get you that record free. I go, dude, I'll go buy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or if I want to get the new Sarah McLachlan record, it's like, oh, dude, I know somebody that worked on that record. I'll get you a copy. I go, dude, I'm not that friggin' cheap. I mean, what is the record, $15? I'll go buy the goddamn record, man. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, it's a joke. I mean, you know, it's just like, dude, if I got a friend that works at the record store and I'm like, oh, dude, I broke my Led Zeppelin 2 record. It's just like, dude, go buy another one.
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, we're not talking about it. It's like $600 for a record here, man. You know what I mean?
Mm, I understand. Matt, thanks very much for your time. It's been great.
All right, brother. Good talking to you too, buddy. You take care of yourself.
All right. Okay, cheers. Bye.
Bye, brother.